Go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, it's page 811. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's right in front of you, 811. Matthew chapter 6, we are in a series on Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, that goes from Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7 in Matthew's Gospel. And we're calling this series Changed. And the reason that we're calling it Changed is because our goal for this series is that the declarations of the King would be changing the citizens of His kingdom. We want to be different as a result of reading God's Word and hearing Jesus' words. We don't want to stay the same. We want to be better and better representations of our Savior. We want to be able to advance His kingdom and make His name known. We want the declarations of our King to be changing us as citizens of His kingdom. And last week, we had a message where Jesus was really talking about what is the value system of your heart, and talking about treasures in heaven or treasures on earth, and talking about money. He was asking us the question, do I value treasure on earth or do I value treasure in heaven? Do I value God or do I value money? Because you can't serve both, Jesus says. It's impossible. It's impossible for you to serve God and to serve money, is what he tells us in Matthew 6:24. And it's almost as if Jesus anticipates a natural response that you might have to hearing that verse, that you should seek eternal treasures rather than earthly ones, that you should serve God rather than serving money. And maybe even last week as I was speaking, you were thinking to yourself, like, okay, I get that, but money's kind of necessary too, isn't it? Right? Like, I mean, we need food, we need clothes, we need a place to live. And it's almost like Jesus anticipates that, because he goes right from talking about valuing God over money to telling us not to be anxious about our life, what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear. Three times in this passage, Jesus is going to say, do not be anxious. And of all the commands of Jesus, this might be at the top of the list as far as commands that are most difficult for us as Christians to obey. Because so many of us struggle with anxiety. So many of us struggle with worry. I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with worry. Even in preparing this message, I have to tell you that some of what Jesus teaches us in this passage can be hard to hear at times. And I started worrying. What if people get offended by what I have to say? What if I misspeak and I hurt people with my words rather than helping them? And I started getting anxious about having to talk about not being anxious. All right, so I just have to confess that, so I'm not a hypocrite right off the bat. I found out last night that Frank was in the hospital and he was texting me some, and I said, Frank, I can't worry about you right now because I don't want to be a hypocrite and talk about not worrying. And so it's just amazing to me that when you're preparing to teach on something, especially on this week, as I've been thinking about what Jesus says about anxiety and not worrying, boy, I started noticing a lot of things that I worry about. If you just meditate on this passage this week and just take an inventory of your life, I think you'll be amazed at how many things we worry about. And so I don't know about you this morning, but I know that I need this message. I need to preach this to myself, and I need the truth that Jesus gives us concerning anxiety, and I'm just hoping that some of you do as well, and that as I benefit from Jesus' words, you will also. And one reality that I think I need to acknowledge right from the top when it comes to anxiety is that this can be really complicated at times. And I don't want to present anxiety and worry like it is a simple topic this morning. There are psychological and physiological aspects to anxiety that are very complex for a lot of people. for those especially that have gone through trauma in their life. Handling anxiety can be a long and discouraging process. I'm sure some of you are there this morning. So I want to be clear. I want to be clear about what Jesus says about anxiety in Scripture, and the anxiety that Jesus is talking about, it would be wrong for us to have it. He tells us not to for a reason. He tells us not to be anxious for a reason. But I also don't want to discourage those this morning that are on a long journey with the enemy of anxiety. I'm praying that this will serve to help and to encourage us. So one of the things that we need to figure out if we're going to obey this passage is how would Jesus define anxiety? When he tells us not to be anxious, he's obviously not telling me, don't look forward to your vacation. Maybe you say, I'm anxious to go on vacation. I don't think that that's what Jesus is talking about this morning. We can define words in different ways, and I think anxiety can be defined in different ways. And so here is, I'm still working on this, but here's where I'm at as far as how I understand Jesus to be talking about anxiety this morning. I think Jesus is saying anxiety is fearing the consequences of not receiving what we desire. Fearing the consequences of not receiving what we desire. What if I don't get the job? What if I blow the interview? What if I never get married? What if I never find the one? What if the doctor has bad news? What if something happens to my kids? What if no one likes me after the sermon? Right? Fearing the consequences of not receiving what we desire. And in Matthew 6, 25 through 34, Jesus gives us 8 reasons not to be anxious. 8 arguments for why we shouldn't be anxious. Some people divide it into 7, some people have 9. I'm going to give you this morning 8 reasons from this passage not to be anxious. And I'm thankful this morning that Jesus gives us reason after reason not to worry, because I need as many weapons to fight the enemy of anxiety as possible. And I think that's why Jesus gives us so many reasons in a list here. So maybe some of these reasons will be more helpful to you in your situation right now. Maybe some of them might cause you to worry more right now. And this is what I need you to trust, that Jesus knows what he's talking about. And we're just going to take every weapon that he gives us, and we're going to hold it, and we're going to trust that there's going to be times in our life that we can use them. He gives us 8 reasons, arguments, weapons to fight the enemy of anxiety, because Jesus doesn't want us to live defeated lives of just saying, I'm just a worrier. He doesn't want you just to decide, I'm just an anxious person. He wants to give us freedom from this. He wants us to defeat the worry and anxiety in our lives. So let's see what Jesus has to tell us. Matthew chapter 6, let me read the first reason for you in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So Jesus is therefore, and I'm just going to leave that there for now. I'm going to come back to that phrase, therefore do I tell you, do not be anxious, at the end of the message this morning. But he says to us not to be anxious about what we are going to eat or drink or wear, because life is more than food and clothing. That's his first reason not to be anxious. Life is more than food or clothing. And if we're honest, in our American culture that we live in, having food to eat or clothes to wear is not the problem that most of us have to worry about. We might worry about which outfit to wear. There might be days that you look in your closet full of clothes and say to your spouse, man, I have nothing to wear, as you stare at all these clothes that just don't work right with how you feel that day. We might struggle to get the whole family to agree on what to eat. Right? We might worry about trying to get a good picture of what we're eating so we can put it on Instagram later. But most of us don't have to worry about whether we will have food or clothing in America, most of us. But isn't it amazing that Jesus is saying that even if you were in a place where you didn't know if you were going to have enough to eat or even if you were in a place where you didn't have any clothes to wear, you still shouldn't be anxious. Because life is more than food and clothing. And Jesus is saying to us, as citizens of His kingdom, focus on the more. Focus on the more. We'll often say that there is more to life than, and we'll just fill in the blank, whatever's gone wrong recently or whatever we're freaking out about. There's more to life than football. Need to remember that this fall when my Bears are terrible again. There's more to life than money. There's more to life than work. Jesus says there's more to life than food and clothing. And you say, Jesus, food's pretty important. Like, I'm pretty sure the rest of society appreciates the clothes that I'm wearing. Like, they want me to do that. So what are you trying to say here, Jesus? Let's just keep going through his reasons. He's going to explain himself. Look at verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Here's his next reason. God feeds the birds and values you more. God feeds the birds and values you more. Jesus loved using creation to illustrate his point. It's almost like, you know, he's outdoors teaching all the time, and he would just look around and see, what can I use in creation to illustrate? And he says, you're worried about what you're going to eat? If you seek to serve God rather than money, you're worried about what you're going to eat? Look at the birds. They don't stock up on food. Birds, they don't have containers of worms and packages of berries in their nests ready for the week, right? They don't do that. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Don't miss what Jesus is revealing about God the Father in this passage. We don't have a God who is disconnected from the details of life. We have a God that is invested in, intricately involved in the smallest details of His creation. We don't have a God that just set up the laws of the universe and just lets it go, like He wound it up and just is letting it spin. No, He sends the rain, causing worms to come up to the surface so the cardinals and the sparrows can have dinner to eat. If God the Father cares about birds being fed, how much more is He concerned with your needs being met? You see, here's the truth that we must believe in order to calm our anxious hearts. We have to believe the truth that we have a heavenly Father who values us. You see, when we live in a constant state of worry and anxiety about what is going to happen to us, the message that we are declaring to the world is, I am not valued. No one cares for me, so I have to care for myself. No one is looking out for me, so I have to look out for myself. There's no one I can trust. There's no one I can depend on. So I have to make sure that I get everything that I need and that I'm taken care of and that I'm safe. And Jesus says, the God of the universe values and feeds the birds, Tim. He values and feeds the birds. Don't you think that you're more valuable to Him than them? And I know that there are people in this room where the events of your life have caused you to believe that no one does value you. And my heart breaks for people that I see in that position. You think that no one cares. And I am praying that today you would allow me to introduce you to a great God who greatly cares for all of us. And I pray that for followers of Jesus, our response to uncertainty would declare to the world that we know we are valued by the God of the universe. God feeds the birds and values you more. Look at verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Here's a really simple reason not to worry from Jesus. It does not help. It does not help. Jesus says anxiety doesn't prolong your life, and we know that if anything, anxiety shortens our lifespan. My guess is that none of you have had a test done at the doctor and afterwards they say to you, now what I want you to do is go home and worry about these results for 2 weeks. That's just the best thing that you can do for your health right now is just be as anxious as possible. When your kids are preparing for a test or for a job interview, you don't tell them, now I want you to go in there and be as worried as possible. Right? You tell them to stay calm. You tell them not to worry, because we all know that what Jesus is saying is true, that anxiety doesn't help. But you might be saying right now, being told that it doesn't help me, right? Like, I know it doesn't help. That's why I'm freaking out, right? In fact, doesn't this happen to you? We get anxious about being anxious, don't we? We worry about how worried we are. We say, I'm doing it again. What if I'm never able to overcome this? And here's the truth that might help you. It's true that you cannot add a single hour to your life by worrying, but your Heavenly Father knew every hour of your life before you were born. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. Don't be anxious about your life. You can't add an hour to it. Your Heavenly Father, who values you, is in control of your days. Look at verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? His next reason is this. God clothes the temporary, and you are eternal. God clothes the temporary, and you are eternal. He goes from talking about birds to flowers and then grass. God causes the flowers to bloom like they're Solomon in all of his kingly glory. He causes the grass to grow. He clothes the plants that are here today and gone tomorrow. God cares about the temporary creation. How much more does he care about you who has an eternal soul? And then he says at the end of verse 30, a convicting phrase, O you of little faith. Now, I don't think that Jesus said this in a condemning way. That's not how I want you to hear it this morning. But I believe that he reveals the problem with the kind of anxiety that he is talking about in this passage. And it's this, that anxiety is rooted in a lack of faith in God. Much of our anxiety is rooted in a lack of faith in God. Fear about what could happen is an attack on our faith. I think we view anxiety as a lack of faith in everything else around us. Right? We view it as a lack of faith in our world, a lack of faith in our government, a lack of faith in our boss, a lack of faith in the drivers around you on the highway, right? We have a lack of faith in those around us, and so that causes us to worry. Maybe many times our anxiety is caused by a lack of faith in ourselves, because we know how badly we can mess up every situation. And again, I want to acknowledge that there are psychological, physiological aspects of anxiety that are real and they are complicated. I'm so thankful for Christian counselors that are far more educated than me to be able to help people sort through the complicated reality that life can bring. But for many of us, our anxiety can often be attributed to our lack of faith in the character of our Heavenly Father and His care for us. I appreciated what Piper said about this. He says that when anxiety strikes, it doesn't mean that we are faithless. It means our faith is under attack. So when you struggle with anxiety, I don't want you to feel like, oh man, I must stop believing God. Pastor Tim's saying, I don't believe in God at all, or I don't have any faith. It's not that we're faithless, but it means that our faith is under attack. And that's why I'm thankful that Jesus gave us weapons of truth to fight the enemy of anxiety. Let's look at the next one, which connects so well. Verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So he gives two reasons right there at the end. He says, therefore, since God feeds the birds and clothes the lilies, do not be anxious, for the Gentiles seek after these things. And Jesus is using the word Gentile to describe someone who doesn't know God. And so his reason that we should not be anxious is because you, child of God, know Him. You know God. Those who don't know God are anxious about their physical needs being met, what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear. We profess to believe that God is in control, that God cares, that God provides, and Jesus doesn't want our confession of faith to only be on our lips. He wants it to be in our hearts as well. He wants our hearts. He revealed Himself to us through His Word so that way we could know Him. And we should be praying that the truth of His character and nature will change our hearts so that when trouble and uncertainty comes, our response reveals to the world that we might not know how the surgery will go, but we know our Heavenly Father values us. We might not know how we're going to make ends meet, but we know our Heavenly Father makes sure the birds are fed. We might not know what tomorrow or the rest of our days will bring, but we know that our Heavenly Father knows the end from the beginning and has every second of your life planned out. Church, the more we know about God, the more we fill our minds with His truth, the more prepared we will be to fight the enemy of anxiety when it strikes. So don't be anxious. For Gentiles, those who don't know God, seek after all these things. And here's the next reason in the verse. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So the reason in this verse we should not be anxious is because you know God and because God knows what you need. You know God and God knows what you need. God knows what the birds need to stay alive. God knows what the flowers need to stay alive. And God knows what you need to stay alive. But I believe that Jesus is saying here, in telling us not to be anxious about the essentials of life, I believe what He's saying is that there is more to our life as followers of Jesus than staying alive. There's more to life than staying alive. We were made for more than this, as the song we sang, Son. When we are anxious and overwhelmed, I think this is what happens to us many times, we go into survival mode, don't we? We're just so overwhelmed with everything going on. We're just so stressed out. And so we just go into survival mode. We make sure we have the food that we need, the clothes that we need, the shelter that we need. We make sure we keep our job. We make sure we protect ourselves. We maybe shut people out that aren't helping us. And we just try to survive. But when we stay in that mindset, of course, the problem is that if the central goal of our life is to stay alive, we will all fail one day. If that's the central goal of our life, we will all fail one day. And so we were made for more. We were made for more than just survival. We were made for more than just getting by. Jesus wants us to believe that our Heavenly Father values us and He knows what we need so that we're set free to focus on more, to focus on His glory, on His mission, and His kingdom. Because the purpose of our life is not simply to not die, which makes sense, because the purpose of Jesus' life on earth was to die for us, to sacrificially lay His life down so we could experience more in this life and life eternally. So if you ever question whether you are valued. If you ever question whether God cares, then I want you to know that God valued you so much that He came near to you when you were far from Him in the form of Jesus. And Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I failed to live. He died the death that we deserve to die on the cross. He took the just punishment for our sin on Himself. He didn't come to condemn. He came to set us free. He rose from the dead. He conquered sin in the grave. And He offers us forgiveness on the basis of our faith in His life, death, and resurrection, and the opportunity to live for more than what is temporary. And so if we are going to be consumed with something, if we're going to be focused on someone, don't worry about our food or our clothing or our car or our house or our bank account or our retirement or our possessions or our safety or our comfort. Jesus says, don't worry about those things. The Christian life is more than that. Look at verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Value what is eternal. Value the King. Value the righteousness that comes from Him. Value His rule and reign. Value people that need to know that Jesus loves and forgives. Value what will last forever. Because what we seek after reveals the value system of our heart. So if you find yourself seeking after your glory and your comfort and your wealth and your status, then start filling your mind with truth and start praying that God will change your heart to seek after the ultimate treasure, which is Jesus Himself. His kingdom, His character, His righteousness, His rule, His reign, His presence in our lives. And when we do, there's a promise that is reason number 7 not to be anxious in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God will provide what you need. By the way, pretty convicting to me that Jesus presents the opposite of anxiety as seeking first the kingdom of God. Because for me, a lot of times I'm anxious thinking that I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. The ministry, all those things. And so if I am getting anxious about what I think is seeking His kingdom, I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm more worried about my kingdom than His, or my success than His. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God will provide what you need. Now, some of you might be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor Tim. It's really easy for us to say God will provide what you need as Christians living in America. Most of us don't have to legitimately fear going hungry or having clothes to wear. But what about Christians in other places who are seeking the kingdom of God and are dying of starvation or being persecuted for their faith? What about them? And that's a great question. I'm glad you were thinking about it. Here's how I take Matthew 6:33, based on the context of what Jesus is saying. I think Jesus is saying that when we are seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness, when we are valuing His rule and reign in our lives, we can know that God will provide what we need to fulfill His will and reveal His righteousness for as long as He has ordained our temporary earthly life to last. I think that's what He means, that all these things will be added to you. That when we are seeking His kingdom and His righteousness, God will give us everything that we need to fulfill His will and to fulfill His righteousness for as long as He has ordained our temporary earthly lives to last. Because God does not promise us a life free from pain. He does not promise a life free from hunger. He does not promise a life free from danger. But we are promised that nothing can separate us from His love. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And I have to admit that at times I wish that that verse said we are kept apart from those things through Him who loved us, rather than in all those things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I wish it was a promise of we will be kept from famine and nakedness and sword and trouble. But if that's what the Bible said, we wouldn't trust it, because our experience has told us that's not true. We're going to go through difficult times. We aren't promised that things are going to be easy. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors. When trouble comes, it doesn't mean that God has failed us. It means that we can be confident that He will give us everything we need to continue to fulfill His will and reveal His righteousness in the midst of the struggle. So don't be anxious. God will provide what you need. I think verse 34 is super encouraging. Look at that with me. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The eighth reason Jesus gives us to not be anxious is that about tomorrow is that today has enough trouble already. Isn't that true? Today has enough trouble already. Jesus says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. And I think we really struggle to obey this verse, don't we? This one's hard for me. This one's hard for us. This is what so much of our anxiety is, living out the future before it gets here. What if this happens? What if this goes wrong? And it's amazing to me how much of what I worry about never happens. Anybody else? So much of what I spend my time worrying about never comes to be. And I go through it and I say, why in the world did I do that? And then I do it again. And here's the truth that Jesus is telling us for those that struggle with worrying about tomorrow. And it's that God doesn't overload any day with trouble. So don't overload today's trouble with tomorrow's potential problems. Today already has enough. Yes, there will be plenty of trouble tomorrow, but our Father will have sufficient grace for us tomorrow as well. Don't live tomorrow today. You don't have tomorrow's mercies yet. There are 1,000 things that we don't know about tomorrow. We don't know what phone call might come. We don't know what our boss might say. We don't know what choices our kids will make. We don't know what might go wrong with the house. But we do know that tomorrow God's mercies will be new, because they are every morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Therefore, do not be anxious. Let me take you back up to verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious. Let me show you what this therefore is there for. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Jesus' argument is that if we are anxious about our lives, food, clothing, etc., the things that money can buy, then we will end up making money our master rather than Jesus. But if our ultimate treasure is Christ, His kingdom, His righteousness, then of course we will have hearts that submit to Him as King. This week, I've just been imagining what it would be like if I was so satisfied and confident in Jesus that I wasn't anxious about everyday life. Oh, doesn't that sound great? What would it be like if we were just so satisfied and so confident in who Jesus is as our King, in His rule, in His reign, in His control, that we weren't anxious about everyday life? How different would our lives be if we were connected to Christ and freed from anxiety? How much more generous would I be? How much better would I respond to my spouse or my kids? How much more sleep would I get at night? How many more opportunities would I find to share the gospel with others? As followers of Jesus, we don't have to live lives resigned to anxiety. Jesus wants us to be free to live for so much more. He wants us to value the kingdom, trusting that the King values you. Value the kingdom, trusting that the King values you. I believe that this is a lifelong process for us. I don't know if we're just going to flip a switch and all of a sudden be totally at peace tomorrow. But Jesus wants us, instead of filling our minds with questions and fears and what ifs, to start filling our minds with His truth. Maybe you need to meditate on Matthew 6, 25 through 34 every day this week. And just let your heart listen to reason after reason that we have not to be anxious about this life. Maybe you just need to focus on the truth of who God is and how He's revealed Himself to be our good Father. Maybe you need to begin to take steps to value the kingdom, trusting that the King values you. Let me pray for us and give you a chance to respond. God, I'm just so thankful that we don't have to live defeated. You don't want us just to resign ourselves to always being anxious. Jesus, You came to set us free. You came to allow us to live for more. You came to allow us to live for what is eternal. And so I just pray that You would be working on our hearts, that You would change what we value, that You would give us eyes to see Your glory and Your beauty and Your promise and Your plan. Help us to value the kingdom, trusting that You value us. And You'll give us everything that we need to fulfill Your will for as long as You have us to live on this earth. I know that there's so many people here today that are struggling with anxiety, myself included. And I pray that we would trust Your promises, that You would work on our hearts. Help us to know how we can start to apply Your word to our lives. Make us trophies of Your grace. Give us stories to tell of how You bring victory and set us free. Give us endurance for the struggle. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.